This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's what I'm talking about. 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, on a defense, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports. We've got a great show for you today, especially if you're a New York Met fan. Not all of you is not great, but when you get 7 runs right out of the gate, you ain't got to be great. You just got to do your job and get some outs. And we are now watching what very well might be. Lower that, Eddie, please. What might very well be, in the moment, the best baseball player in town. And that's a young man named Conforto, my man, Pots and Pans. The Yankees are cruising, bullpen blows it, they come back down to earth. NBA in a minute. First, good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Oh, boy, I'm great this morning. And, you hit the nail right on the head when you talk about Michael Conforto. And, you know, yesterday you and I were talking about it. I was telling you, last year, everybody wanted to get rid of the guy because he had an off year. He was just a little bit ahead, and people expected more of him last year, and it didn't work out. And if you remember at the beginning of this year, one of the only reasons he's actually even on the team, I think, is because Brandon Nimmo pulled a hamstring or something. So, I love it. I love it when young guys finally figure it out and get it and, you know, have success. And certainly he has had a lot of success. Maybe he's the Mets lone all-star, who knows, but it was good for him. And you know, it was kind of interesting. I wanted to see how whoever showed up was going to treat Matt Harvey.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I couldn't tell. There were like 3,000 people there.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was not a great crowd, which was expected, but the Mets get off to such a great start. Matt Harvey became kind of a secondary story.
He did, but you know, watching him labor through most of his time out on the mound, except for the one inning where he struck out the side, it's tough to watch because it's not who he was 2 years ago. You know,
no,
what I mean?
He was watching, and you know, listen, at 7-0, you can't watch the whole game, but he didn't go 6 innings. His pitch count was in the mid 70s by the fourth. He did strike out with, I think, 6 guys, walked 4 more.
Remember that they're the worst hitting team in the National League. And by the way, conversely, the Kansas City Royals are the worst hitting team in the American League.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a second. But listen, the good news is that, hey, Matt Harvey got a win. Okay, great. Gave up only 3 hits, 2 runs. The bad news is that, yet again, he couldn't give you 6 innings. Now, here's a game in which you'd like to think, when you have 7 runs out of the gate, just go out there and throw the ball, right? You have no pressure when you have that kind of lead.
Right.
That's how I viewed it. So I was disappointed, actually, in Harvey's performance. But a win is a win. Conforto's a monster. And let him be. And let Conforto just keep doing what he's doing. Because at some point, it'll run out for a little while.
You mean Conforto, the leadoff hitter? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. He'll never bat leadoff, okay? He's only batting 500 in the first inning. And he's a leadoff hitter. And I'll tell you this. I know you know we don't like to break one regular season game down to one at-bat.
Yep.
But you'll love this. I know you watched it. You're talking about bottom of the first. He's the first guy up. How about a 10-pitch at-bat to start the game? And then hits the home run on the 1-2 pitch. That's a guy that's battling. He's in. He's aware of what's going on. And he's in a zone. He is fun to watch.
Right. But, you know, let's face it. You know, this is a team you have to beat. And this is the team that you got to feast on. This is the team that you have to, you know, put up numbers. This is, you know, the San Diego Padres are horrendous.
Yes.
Their pitching staff may be worse than the Mets right now. Kosar tonight is going, hasn't even gotten out of the fifth inning either. So
still got to do it.
You still got to do it. That's no question
now,
about it.
Now, Gizelman's pitching for the Mets. So, you know, get ready for a softball game in Citi Field.
You'd like to think so.
But, I mean, you're right. You got to beat the Padres. And you get not 2 out of 3. You got to take the whole series from them. Meanwhile, the Yankees were in an interesting spot yesterday. And I disagreed with the haters on this one. You know, Joe Girardi's got Monty, and he's pitching a great game, right?
Yeah.
Gives up a home run.
Yeah.
Gives up another single right after.
So get him out.
So, you know, the bullpen's been so good.
Get him out.
If I'm Joe Girardi, and this is still a kid, he pitched great. I can go to Warren. I can go to my guys. That's why I'm paying those guys, right?
Yeah,
so he goes to them, and it all blows up.
So these managers, well, I know exactly what they're doing. You know, that's not CeCe Sabathia out there. You know, that's not, Jacob DeGrom out there. That's a kid. And Joe Girardi, what does he want for the kid? He wants the kid to gain confidence. He wants the kid to come off with the lead. He doesn't want the kid to blow up in the middle of an inning. So I totally understand.
Me too.
You want to say overmanaging? I would say he's being protective of his young player.
But what's
player.
The strength of the Yankee and, pitching staff supposed
well,
to be?
Well, it's the back end of their bullpen. Bullpen right. in general. But, you know, here's the thing. Joe Girardi, Terry Collins, all these managers are there every single day with their players. They have a pitching coach sitting right next to them. They converse over these things.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a discussion. Do you think we should get him out now? Let's take him out now. Those balls are hard hit, and he's leaving the balls over the plate now.
Right.
So let's get him out of there.
Right.
And that's what you do. So now it's the next guy's job to come in and take care of business. And when it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean it's the manager's fault.
No, at all. I remember after the Kane home run, he pitches to Hosmer. He hits a sharp line drive. And at that point, I saw the same thing. He's got hit hard. So to take him out, Warren comes in. And then it's single home run. You're like, oh, God dang it.
All right, well, that's on Warren.
Right. It's not on Montgomery, and it shouldn't be on Joe Girardi either, by the way.
Just on one guy who had a bad day.
Right. Plus, the Yankee offense was non-existent last night.
I know, but it was one guy who had a bad day. They had the lead. You think, okay, it's lockdown central, and they failed, or he failed.
Well,
okay,
none of them were any good. Holder wasn't any good.
I know, but do we think that they're going to be infallible, that they're going to be totally like, you know.
Win every game.
I mean,
and then
come
I'll
on.
Say this. You know, down 6-2 in the ninth. And at the end of the day, I can't tell you the Yankees are going to come back and win that game.
But here's what I'm going to tell you.
But the call by the ump, calling, it was Carter, calling him out of the base path, I mean, to end the game. Well, I doubt you saw it live, but if you've seen it this morning, it's just like, what are you watching?
I'll tell you what I saw, though. You wonder what I saw? I saw a stadium that looked full to me compared to Citi Field that looked empty.
Right. Well, Citi Field was empty. Because when you're 5-6 games under 500 and all the news out of your team seems to be negative, who wants to go see that when on the flip side, I can go sit in the judges' chambers, right? Mm. I can watch those guys play. I got the youngest, best infield in baseball, and I'm a show now. Every night, I'm a show.
Can I ask you a question?
The Yankees are a more watchable team right now.
Since the Yankees put the judges' chambers out in the outfield?
Yes, I don't know.
How many home runs has Judge hit?
Is the answer zero?
I think so. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that it is.
It's not a lot, whatever it is.
No, I don't think he's hit. I don't think he's hit one out there.
Here's the deal. Attendance for the Yankee game last night. What do you think it was? The announced attendance.
33,000.
36,000 people. Well, all right? Attendance for the New York Met game last night. If you had to just take a wild guess.
Well, I think I'd probably say like 22,000 because of season tickets.
Right, which it wasn't even close. It was 24,000.
All right. So
15,000 more people at some point bought a ticket to watch the Yankees the same night the Mets were playing. And you're right. If you watch the Met game, there's nobody there.
So this whole Judge thing out in the outfield is only the last two home games.
Correct.
So against
they just
Kansas
started.
City, right.
And you can't buy those tickets. The Yankees pick people. And they give them the tickets for free.
All right, so he has not hit a home run since they've been back.
Well, it's two games.
Right, exactly.
All right, so let's see what happens
on
the...
His last home run was in Tampa.
So let's see what happens on the homestand. You're afraid that the Yankees may have jinxed the kid, right?
You know what they're doing? They're touching the money. Touching the money.
No, they're having fun.
Touching the money.
This is a Yankee organization. This is not the George Steinbrenner Yankees. This is fun. Judges' chambers, picking random people, look like Yankee fans. Now, I called the Yankees up.
Could you imagine if the Mets actually did that? You'd be all over them.
If the Mets did it, for some reason, to me, it would reek of desperation. Mm-hmm. But that's the Mets. Now, I called the Yankees up. And I said, Yankees, what's the deal with these judges' chambers?
Right.
I think I'd like to go to a game and sit in the judges' chambers. So it's not official yet. But I'm going to be the...
Oh, they'll give you whatever you want.
Well, I'm going to be the head judge.
You're the head shill.
I will be the head judge the judge's chambers.
You know what you are. You're the head Yankee, as Governor Christie so eloquently put it.
No, Governor Christie doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yes, you are the head Yankee.
No, there's no Yankee bitch
you
at
are
all.
The head.
No,
there
I'm not.
Go. Yes, you are.
I will take over the judge's chambers one game.
You are the head...
No, I'm the head Yankee judge guy.
The head?
No. I don't know what that gobbling is right there.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Oh, I called up the Yankees. And I
called the Yankees up, and I said, Yankees, I want the chambers one game.
You said Lon.
No, I said Yankees.
You said Lon.
I want the chambers. So I will pick a game later this year.
Oh, he can't wait to see this.
In which I will take care of the chambers. I will gift the tickets to other people to join me in the judge's chambers. And you'll be sitting right next to me.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you will.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you will, too.
I'm not
too.
Doing that.
You got the robe.
No, I'm not
the
doing
gavel.
That. The judge's chambers.
You're going to have the wig thing on. Come to order. Order. Order.
That's like something that the South Carolina Fireflies would do.
No, listen.
Right? Isn't that right, Al?
No, I'm doing this.
It's like minor league. I get to having fun and everything, but I still think they're touching the money.
It's not the Yankee way.
It's not the Yankee way. I don't know what this is all about, man.
Why can't the Yankees have a little fun?
This is like
the Yankees.
No.
Something like the Cleveland Indians do.
It's not your father's Yankees anymore, Eddie.
You know,
it's the new wave
Tiffany
Yankees.
Tiffany and, you know, New York Times.
Right, all that kind of crap.
How's that working out for those companies? Pretty good?
Bougie, whatever, right? I mean,
Elitist.
It doesn't seem right. Elitist, you know.
To the Yankees' credit, they're adapting with the times, boys.
I mean, the fact that they don't put the names in the back of the jersey, but they'll put the name out there in the outfield and call it the judges' chambers seems very, very, like, anti-Yankee.
Well,
I guess later this year he'll get his monument out there.
Yeah, probably get a monument.
There'll be no monument. I'm just going to take over Judge's chambers for one freaking game.
Not you. I mean, Judge will have a monument. But I'm just saying, I personally think they're touching the money. That's what
fine.
I think.
Poo-poo it all
and
you
when
want.
You touch the money, poo-poo you know what
it.
Happens.
Keep poo-pooing it. You could be the poo-poo platter all you want.
We'll see how many hits he gets since they put that thing up.
I'll be out there chambering my face off.
This is so...
Come to order!
I mean, this
and
so
I'm going to
non,
pick good people
it's just
to
like
me
so
too.
Non-Yankee, so anti-jetarian.
Listen, maybe I'll have Derek Jeter sit out there with me.
This is the home of Mickey Mantle, Derek Jeter, Craig Nettles, Willie Randolph, Thurman Munson, Don Mattingly, Oscar Gamble, Charlie Hayes,
Gary
Sanchez, Joe Girardi. I mean, come on.
Tino Martinez.
But, I mean, of all the Yankees to mention, you guys have done a poor job.
Bernie Williams.
The core four.
Listen,
I mean, and now all of a sudden, this one guy hits a couple bomb home runs. He's great. And all of a sudden, he has something that none of those guys have ever had. And that is a thing that kind of is all about him, and it's not about them.
Well, I've got shirts coming here today that say Judgment Day.
And by the way, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. He's not asking for that. And every time you hear Aaron Judge give an interview, he sounds great. He says all the right things.
Good
he sounds
kid.
Humble. He sounds like I'm just trying to find my way. And now the Yankees do this. It's small market mentality. I get it.
It's called having fun, Booms. I don't know when you guys lost sight of having fun. Baseball's a pretty boring sport. The Yankees made it fun again.
I love having fun.
Entertaining, exciting,
but
Judge's
chambers.
You
want to know what fun is? Fun is winning.
Yes, that's why when I bring in my shirts today, Judgment Day 99, you'll be rocking it.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you will.
No, I don't think so.
You have
so.
No choice.
No, I have a choice.
No, there's no free will when it comes to that.
I definitely have a choice.
You will rock that shirt, that's all. And when I start a new charity thing on behalf of the Yankees of popularity,
well, we'll get in on
you're
that.
Out on that.
Well, no, we'll get in on
no,
that.
No, no, you're
that's
out.
A little different story for charity.
You're out.
No,
you're out.
Oh, yes.
You're out.
No. I'm quick, all in on that one.
Quick football note, two things. One, you heard yesterday the big news that the NFL is going to let players celebrate touchdowns with some rules. No violent or sexually suggestive gestures, meaning you can't do that stupid throat thing, and you can't, air hump the goalpost or really, there's really just a no humping rule. It's a no humping. You're allowed to celebrate on the ground. You could have group celebrations like the Fun Bunch used to have, and you're allowed to use the football as a prop. Now, here's what I would love. I'd love had they filmed that executive meeting when a bunch of middle-aged guys in jackets and ties sat in the room.
We all know what this did. We all know what
and said, all right, what are we going to allow? I'd love to have been there when Roger Goodell said to one of his lieutenants, football as a prop, yay or nay?
I don't think it's Roger Goodell. I think it's other people like Troy Vincent and those kind of guys.
Well, whatever
that are
it is,
over there talking these great things out, and then the commissioner is the one that announces it, and everybody thinks it's him that's doing this, when in actuality, it's not him personally.
Uh-huh.
It's the group of people that he has hired to run that part of the league or that part of the game.
And we'll get to more of that later on. In more football news, Odell Beckham Jr. did not go to day two of OTAs. They claim he's coming tomorrow for day three. Why was he out? Perhaps it's because they just announced yesterday that Nike won the bidding war between themselves and Adidas for Odell Beckham Jr., the wealthiest shoe contract in the history of the NFL.
$29 million
for him to wear Nikes for the next, I believe, 4 or 5 years.
Wow, $5 million a year, about.
Yeah, just about. So that's what I'm not sure.
All I got was like Nike shoes, and I got a.
Yeah, I thought you had Reeboks.
Well, I started with Nike.
Right.
Then I went to Reebok. Then I went to Apex One.
You were an Apex guy.
Then I went back to Nike.
Got it. So you went full circle.
Went full circle. It was nice because I think I got like a $10,000 check from them, and then I got
nice.
Like $25,000 or $30,000 worth of product.
Unlimited sneakers.
Pretty much.
But
yeah.
Was it cleats or could you get sneaks too?
No, I could get whatever I wanted. They had a catalog they would send you back in the old days.
You had like a debit system.
And you'd have to fax it in.
Oh, that's great. I'll take three of these, four of those, like
And the interesting thing was is that it ended at the, it ended December 31st.
Okay.
And if you did not use all your allotment, it was gone.
So Christmas was a good time.
Holy mackerel. Right? There was one year where I think I had like, 16, 17 grand left over.
Right.
And I just started.
Only sneaks or could be clothes too?
Everything.
Just like you had
whatever came
like
out of their catalog.
Oh, that'd be great. Can you get that deal again with Under Armour for me?
Well, we kind of have it. I don't think Under Armour has ever turned down my request for anything that you might have wanted.
Okay, I have a few new requests.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do.
Well, they got some new stuff.
They have a lot of new stuff.
I checked out that I like. They've really stepped up their clothing game.
Yes, I know they have.
So I'll give you an order.
You're going to give me an order?
Yep, you fax it in just like you used
to. No, we don't fax it in anymore.
Well, however you want to do it, do's it.
Do it.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
All right, we're brought to you by Hooters in Manhattan at 33rd and 7th. Join Joe and Evan for a special live lunch broadcast today from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Oh, yeah, I'll stop by for that for sure.
Joe and
Hooters will be fantastic. We'll be mobbed. Okay.
Bro, well, how about that?
Bro, wings, brings, bro. Wings and breasts, bro.
Yes. That.
Plus, my favorite Magic store is right there, too. So maybe I'll stop by.
Ah, that's where you frequent?
Yeah, there's a place called Phantasma right there. You couldn't find it on a map. It's in the top floor of a nondescript building right next to Hooters.
And, I don't understand how they have.
My man Nick is the best magician in New York. He's killing it.
How do they have as much business then if it's tough to find like that?
Well, listen, the world of magic's kind of a secretive thing anyway.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yankees-Royals last night at the stadium, and everything was going so well last night. The Yankees had a 2-0 lead on home runs from Hicks and Carter, and Jordan Montgomery was tremendous. He then gives up that home run in the seventh inning to Lorenzo Cain and gets an out. And then things kind of change. Yeah, enter Adam Warren, who gives up a single to Salvador Perez. And then Jorge Bonifacio came up.
Pitch in the air to right.
Oh, no.
Judge going back. That ball's gone. A home run. A two-run home run for Bonifacio going the opposite way. And the Royals take a 3-2 lead.
That is John Sterling on the Fan.
Wow.
2-1 in the sixth. And all of a sudden, poor Monty sees his efforts wasted.
No, think of it. I mean, Warren comes in. I mean, you got the two outs. You give up a single and a home run, and just like that, it's gone. And then in the eighth inning with Jonathan Holder in, Whit Merrifield hits a home run, and then you got the home run off of Chasen Shreve by Mike Moustakas. 6-2, the final score. Here was Joe Girardi afterwards. Warren, Holder, Shreve giving up homers.
Yeah, it's unusual because they have been so good
all season long.
I never liked Shreve anyway. He's actually.
Why?
In the past, he's usually a gas can. Now, he's been better this year, obviously.
Yes.
But that guy, I would never put that guy in a big spot.
And that happens again yesterday where he kind of kills you.
Yes, it did happen again yesterday. Here's more Girardi. This was what you guys were kind of discussing to open the show. And Girardi just defending the move to take Montgomery out. He says you had to do it.
You know, it's a kid that's been seven innings, 100 pitches only a couple times in his career.
And he was at 98, I think.
If I may, there's this mythical, the guys were talking about it on the show last night. There's this mythical, you know, oh my God, 100 pitch thing, right, Boom?
Right.
Like, they don't count pitches in between innings. They don't count warmer pitches. But they have this, for some reason, they've attached this mythical line of, when you get to 100, that becomes problematic, everything after that. And I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to it, other than it's a nice, you know, round three-digit number. But do you really think there's a difference between pitch 93 and pitch 104? I mean, yeah, I don't.
It could be in velocity, but, I mean, in terms of your arm,
I don't think so. Now, if I'm Girardi, I think you do take him out there, not because of the pitch count, but
I agree.
He's just been hit pretty hard.
Well, I think it's combining the pitch count to the situation, to who the kid is, and how deep has he gone into games before.
I mean, you have a great bullpen.
And they're trying to bring him along slowly, and it's fine. I don't have a problem with that. By the way, you know, you're talking about Shreve.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Shreve's, pitching results here.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't pitch a lot, but, you
for
know.
For good reason.
In the month of May. He pitched eight and a third innings.
Yeah.
Gave up two hits.
Yes.
Four base on balls, 10 strikeouts.
No, I said last year.
He said
this year he's been good.
He's been really good.
Yeah, I said this year he has been good. Last year, though,
but he wasn't
that guy was a guaranteed rain delay.
Well, whatever.
I mean,
but he's pitched really well this year. I just want to, you know, we need to be fair about it. He's pitched good.
Did I not say he's been good this year? I believe I did say that.
Okay.
Your Honor.
All right.
In terms of the 100 pitches, though, last night you had John Lester and Irvin Santana pitch complete games. How many have there even been this year?
I mean, they may be the first two.
No, they've been.
On the same day, but it's the only time it's happened.
I would agree, and I don't know that there are even 10 this year in terms of guys going nine innings.
Because we treat these pitchers like they're, Baywatch supermodels. You know, it's so delicate. You don't want to mess them up.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It'll be all right, sweetheart. You're going to pitch again in 5 days. Everything's going to be just fine. Now go be handsome.
Here was the handsome Adam Warren. What happened with the Bonifacio at bat?
Yeah, just left the fastball up in the zone a little bit and, put a good swing on it.
Speaking of Baywatch,
yeah.
I got a real problem with The Rock being the lead in that.
Why?
I love The Rock. I love him. Love The Rock. He just did my new favorite Disney movie of all time. That being said, like David Hasselhoff. Now, you can't bring the Hoff back because he's like 60 years old.
Sure,
I get that. But when I watch it, if I do go watch it, it's like, that's The Rock. You know what I mean? I needed like a cheesy, nondescript
guy. So is he trapped in a character?
No, to me, he's always that's The Rock.
Yeah, when you see The Rock, here comes The Rock as, you know, the lead of Baywatch.
And he's good, don't forget. I happen to be a big fan of his. But I can't have him as the lead in Baywatch.
So you're not going to go see it?
Well, I didn't say that. I mean, still. Yeah,
still
women
Baywatch.
In bikinis.
Still
am I not going to go see it with my sons?
Crazy.
That would be a great father-son experience. Little Anthony.
And then go to Hooters afterwards.
And then go right to Hooters and see Joan.
That's it.
I'd call that a great reason not to go to school.
Know your way around a nipple or two.
Okay,
well,
or
timely.
You could make it awkward, Joe, and ruin the whole day for me.
Boost libido and sexual performance.
Joe, thank you.
Wow. Come see Joe today at Hooters. All right.
Okay. You think he gets the oysters or the wings?
He's going wings.
I don't know.
Finger looking good.
What else, Jerry?
Jason Hamill, Luis Severino go tonight. Of course, we'll have it for you here on The Fan. Then you have the Mets. If you missed the first 20 minutes of this game, you missed a lot because here's how the first inning essentially ended.
Pitch to Conforto, line the other way. That's a base hit into left field. Flores scores. Rivera coming to the plate. Spangenberg's throw is cut off as Rivera slides in safely. And on at first with his second hit of the inning and two runs batted in is Michael Conforto. It is 7-0 New York.
That is Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
WOR, a 7 spot in the first inning as Conforto started it and capped it in terms of the scoring. Mets go on to win 9-3, improved to 19-24. Lucas Duda, 3-for-4, 2-run double in the first, RBI single in the 7. There's Terry Collins. It is so obvious Conforto has improved from, say, 12 months ago.
No doubt. I'm telling you, the swing's different.
And that apparently is a big deal. Here's Conforto, why he has succeeded in the leadoff spot.
I think it's just a product of what I've been working on, using all the
the whole field, taking what the pitcher gives me.
Nice veteran answer there.
If you missed the story in the paper a couple of days ago, the one-on-one with him, you should go back and read it because, you know, he's a kid, and he talks about how, you know, being sent down the second time last year, how depressing that was, but then how he went back, you know, dusted the dirt off his shoulder and said, that's fine, I'm going to get my ass back there. And next time I get back, you know, he's always been known as what? A guy who can hit the ball.
Yeah.
That was the MO in it. That guy can hit the ball.
The thing about it is that, you know, sometimes it takes a little time. I mean, they don't all come up and
Aaron Judge
when he first got here, he was good. Everybody thought that he was going to step right into his opportunity last year and was going to be what he has turned out to be this year. It just didn't work out. It just took a year later. That's all. But don't you remember this offseason? Nobody thought anything of Michael Conforto because of the performance last year.
Right.
By the way, it could have gone the other way. Like, say, I don't know, a manager like Wally Backman that goes to the Mexican League and gets fired after 2 months.
Well, then if you should read the whole story before you take a shot at my main man, Wally Backman.
Oh, I'm sorry, your man. I got
who
it.
Who would still be a great addition to the Mets.
Right.
Never happened, but do you know why Wally Backman was let go?
I got to be honest with you. I'm not really interested. Fact that Wally Backman got let go made my weekend.
Is that right? All right, fine.
Pretty much.
No worries.
Pretty much. No worries.
No worries.
No worries. So, okay, what did they do to him?
No. Maybe if you don't care, you don't care.
Maybe he doesn't care, but I care.
I don't know that you care either.
I care. So what happened?
What happened?
No.
How was he wronged?
What happened?
He must have been wrong.
Yeah, he had to be wrong somehow.
How was it the Wilpons' fault?
Well, no. It was Sandy, Eddie. Sandy.
Oh, okay. One of the other great evils.
By the way, you know that they blackballed him. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
You know that. Right. You.
So
we
what
all
happened?
Know
what,
that.
Is the, what is the story?
Everybody knows that. Uh-huh.
You didn't tell me what the story is yet.
Well, listen, I'm not sure, frankly, that you really want to know the story.
Do we know the story?
I know the story.
Well, then Boomer wants to know the story.
No, but you don't.
I don't care.
Maybe I'll tell Boomer when you're not in the studio. That's all.
Hey, listen, I'm still waiting for by December 31st him to have a job in the major leagues.
Well, he got fired
in Mexico.
That got a little sidetracked on that.
maybe getting some money from that.
I don't even care about the bet. Just the fact that
I care about the bet. I don't care about anything but the bet.
That scenario got a little sidetracked. Yes. Poor Wally Backman.
So did our money.
Your money got sidetracked.
Your money got sidetracked, too.
Well, I don't remember. What was that, 250? I forget what it was.
Yeah, something like that.
No, tell me what it was.
It was, yes.
Did you
it
get
was
the money from that
each,
bet
yes.
or no?
The Wally Backman bet? Yes. I have not.
Well, no one ever told me what the bet
Eddie,
was.
250.
Exactly.
No, sir.
Geez, Eddie, relax.
Jerry, did you get the money from the bet?
No, not for the Wally
so
Backman.
So that was one of those man bets that, you know, men make bets, men pay off their debts, men come forward and they do it. Yeah.
That's
nobody got paid.
Well, because I never really knew what the bet was.
You know, it's all about keeping a pot straight. You know, you got your back, your teammate, you work hard together, you're in the foxhole guys.
Yeah.
Except guys, when we bet and you lose a bet,
guys,
you don't
pay
off. You
guys are real foxhole guys. I mean, as soon as there's a little drop of blood within a 5-square-mile area, you guys pounce.
$250 a person. That's what you owe us.
Then I'll be taken care of post haste.
I don't know why that took so long, or why we haven't seen the money.
The day I've ever collected a single bet from you losers will be the first day.
We win all the time. You never beat us in a bet.
How many breakfasts you guys owe me?
It has nothing to do with breakfast. You lost. We love the fact that you bring us in breakfast. You bring us in Jersey
Mikes. Those bets you've lost.
We love all that stuff.
Jersey Mikes, I love you.
You call up Entenmann's. They bring in Entenmann's. We love all that stuff. We appreciate you for everything that you do for us. But honestly, if you do not pay a bet, we have to point it out. And that is a bet that hasn't been paid. That's all I'm telling you. That's like the fifth time, but that's one of the bets that has not been paid. That's all there is.
The Mexican League team did say about Mr. Backman, as they announced his firing on Facebook, which seems like a kind of disrespectful way to fire a guy.
That's kind of the way that Devin Smith got fired from the Jets.
Yes. Yep. Well, we appreciate your effort and commitment given our organization.
Now get out.
And wish you every success in your career. Get the F out.
Bye-bye. Yeah, well, that didn't go well. Aye. Anyway, so Mets and Dodgers. Matt Harvey, 5 innings. He does get the win. 2 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. Gazelman and Cozart will go later tonight. What else? Oh, basketball. Cavaliers, Celtics, and Kyrie Irving had himself a night.
Irving. At that dangerous right point for him. Watched by Rozier. 3 left. Step back, long 3. He nailed it. And that'll do it for the third quarter. And what a quarter It was for Kyrie Irving.
21 in the
third
quarter.
So now here's the problem with it.
Okay.
So they're down 10 at halftime. Right?
That was unbelievable. When I saw that, I was
They look like crap.
LeBron had four fouls on that.
He sat the last 6.5 minutes of the first half. First time in his career, he sat four fouls in the first half of any game. And they look, I mean, they're out of sync. They're dead. They're missing every shot. And the Celtics were rocking and rolling. Second half, you had that great third quarter, of course. Now, here's where it becomes interesting. So the Cavs have the ball, and they're up after an Irving basket. They go up by 13 with about a minute or so to go. All right? Couple of missed shots.
The spread was 15.
The spread was 15 is correct, sir. Actually, some people got it at 15 and a half, but for our purposes, when we left here in the morning, it was 15, okay? 15. The Celtics miss a three. LeBron gets the rebound, has the ball with 29 seconds left,
so
meaning
they're going to have to shoot.
You know, and it happens in every NBA game. They'll take, it might be like a 30-foot shot or maybe an easy layup. They're going to take a shot because there's still going to be time on the clock after the shot clock expires, correct?
Yes.
They don't take a shot. And by not taking a shot, they win by 13. And if you lay the 15, which the far majority of people did, thinking after the embarrassing loss, here's the comeback game, they're going to blow them out from jump. Now they embarrass themselves in the first half, come all the way back. They have a chance to not just win the game, which is it's good. They're going to cover the number. And they don't even take the shot.
Can I just a dumb question. I don't gamble on sports. But we always look at it from the cynical eye. What about the people that won?
Very few people
that didn't want them to shoot.
Very few people. I don't know what the numbers are, of course. But
people did take them.
Someone did, on a whim, for sure. But you know, those people got lucky and they won. Much like the flip side is true. I'll give you another one. Take the Yankee game. This fascinates me. The over-under in the Yankee game yesterday. Eight and a half. Eight and a half. You got men on base in the eighth inning, ninth inning, where, you know, one more hit and you go to nine and you cover. Imagine watching that and you being on the edge of your seat, which is why I always say, never bet baseball, never bet NBA. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
I suppose not. So 112-99 was the final. Cleveland up 3-1. Game 5 will be tomorrow night in Boston. Senators beat the Penguins 2-1. Series tied 3-3. Game 7 tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. Do I have 10 seconds to
I
do
think
the
you
Sheldon
have
10. Richardson?
You got 10, sure.
This is the audio from Richardson yesterday, the OTAs and everything, and the reference to Brandon Marshall. This is courtesy of SNY.
Locker room's a whole lot easier to get along with now, so, yeah. Y'all so thirsty.
You put the ball on the tee, Sheldon.
Y'all so thirsty. Oh, man, y'all so thirsty. I just said we got 15 reasons why it ain't why it's better.
So there you go. There's
the
reference.
The media, a bunch of jackals right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Sheldon Richardson was the everyone dumped on him last year because he's missing meetings, he's showing up late. All of a sudden, you're taking a shot at a guy that can't defend himself right then and there. And it's oh, you're so funny. Oh, Shelly, tell me another joke. Like, come on. Bunch of frauds, right? As soon as that guy misses another meeting, the relationship that you just heard there will be fractured for the rest of the season.
I mean, you know, he...
Hear the one guy in the background going, oh, you teed it up. Oh, you teed it up. Play it again. There's a reporter in the background that goes...
Was that Manish?
No, but listen. Listen again.
Locker room's a whole lot easier to get along with now, so... Yeah.
You see
that? Y'all so thirsty.
You put the ball on the tee, Sheldon.
Give me more, Sheldon.
Who is that?
You put the ball
on
the tee.
Who was that?
I know it's not Chris LaPresti. I don't know who it is.
No, he quit.
I honestly have no idea. Maybe it is Manish. I don't know.
That was not Manish.
I know it's not Brian. It doesn't sound like Brian Costello.
Maybe it's Brian Costello.
No, I don't think so.
Who's covering the Jets for us now?
Samini?
I think Costello is there.
Costello's our new guy?
It doesn't sound like Samini, no.
Was that...
Well, let's just say it's Costello. Make him, you know, give him, you know.
I don't know that it was him, though.
Or you put the ball on the tee, Shelly.
Well, he kind of did, right?
It's teed up now.
Taking shots at Brandon Marshall.
Let's go run to Brandon Marshall.
He answered it with a text from one of the reporters, very classy and very veteran-like.
I don't know about him texting people. He might have his people texting people.
No, he texts people.
I call Brandon. It's always some dude who answers the phone. I always think it's Brandon. I'm like, yo, B. And he goes, it's actually, he has like a male assistant. And it's like, whatever. It's a nice guy, by the way. I'm like, because, you know, LB, what, you come. This is George. Actually, Mr. Marshall's currently on his Segway going to the supermarket.
Yes.
I'm like, you answered his cell phone?
He gave me a bogus cell phone.
Meanwhile, he owes me a phone call.
How many man assistants do you have?
I have four.
Sherrod,
yeah,
Georgie.
I got four male assistants.
And one loves to play Parcheesi.
Yes, well, that's Ahab.
That's Ahab.
He's in the adult board game league, which, by the way, to his credit,
yes,
he has his highest national ranking of all time.
Oh. There are national rankings for board game playing?
He called me last night. He won an Othello competition.
The hell is that?
Othello. It's these little discs. They're black and white. And based on where you put them, you can change a whole row to black or white. And I guess he won a big tournament last weekend. He's now ranked 17th in the country for a board game, professional board game league.
And someone married him.
A beautiful woman.
Isn't that something?
Yes, who's blessed him with two great kids. Yep.
Wow.
He's a very special human being. He's 17th. He's all excited about it.
He should be. Top 20.
I knew they played Parcheesi. I think they have, they play Life, they play Risk.
They play Yahtzee?
That's a good question. I don't know if they play Yahtzee.
Where are these
not really
playing?
A board game. Yeah.
They play them in hotel ballrooms, I think.
What's the difference between playing a board game or going to an arena and playing some sort of video game? You're playing a game.
He's playing a game, but they're board games. So playing Monopoly for like 9 hours.
No, come on.
Okay.
They play Risk?
I said they play Risk.
They play
but
Clue?
The old school
they play
Risk.
Clue?
You know, he's never mentioned Clue, but I imagine at some point you got it, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know how you have a Clue tournament, but I guess, you know, you play at a table, you advance from your table. It's almost like a poker tournament.
They play Scrabble.
Scrabble's a big one.
Big one.
Yes. Now, there are Scrabble-only tournaments, but Scrabble's also a part of the Adult Board Game League, in which my man Ahab is a 17th in the country. Now, you might ask, how many men and women are in the league?
I was thinking that.
900+. So he's like top 1-2%.
Pretty good.
Like, loser, and the triple. Well, there you have it.
That's nice.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, it's great.
Hey, everybody has their thing, right?
You got to have your thing. Yes. He was very disappointed a month ago. He was eliminated very early in the Chinese checkers tournament. And that sent him for a loop. Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
Where have you been?
I'll tell you where I've been.
Living under a rock.
I've been watching these hockey games, man.
Oh, is that what it is?
So, just a little quick side story. Really quickly.
I have all these things I wanted to do.
I want to get into it. I just want to tell you this. So, you know the story of the goalie for the Ottawa Senators? Do you know it at all? His wife is battling cancer, the whole thing. He missed a whole bunch of the early part of the season.
All right.
And, you know, he's been like, you know, the Marty St. Louis, the Dominic Moore kind of inspirational stories, playing for his wife and the whole thing. And they get lit up over the weekend, 7-0. He gets pulled out of a game. And they're down 3-2, and they have a home game in Ottawa last night. So Craig Anderson, the goalie, who's dealing with all this other stuff in his life and how the team has rallied around him, the city's rallied around him, the whole thing, stops 45 shots
last
night.
They won, right?
And they won 2-1. There'll be a game 7 between those two teams.
Great.
And, you know, as the Nashville Predators sit and wait now for the winner. And could you imagine if Nashville and Ottawa make it to the well, Nashville's already made it, but if it's Nashville-Ottawa without Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup?
Not what the NHL would want, but that's the way it happens sometimes.
But what it does do, though, if Ottawa makes it, then it does engage the country of Canada a little bit more.
Yeah, which is all well and good. I mean, it's their sport anyway. Let them have it. Let them have a little fun for once, you know? They're cold up there 24 months out of the year.
But these games, the last few games, the whole Stanley Cup playoffs have been ridiculous how good they've been.
Take some of your calls here in a minute. Al, let me know when you have that singing performance, which was just a great New York moment for me yesterday.
And by the way, you just showed me the video of this gal at the bank.
Yeah.
Girl can get it on now. Girl
right?
can sing, man.
My goal is to get her an anthem date.
Here's a girl sitting at her desk.
Right.
Just sitting at her desk and you figure out that she can sing. She turns on the music and just starts belting it out.
Killing it. Did a Beyonce song for me. Right there in the middle of the bank. I'll play it in a few minutes for
you. That's great.
Here is Crawford and Kingsburg on the Fan. Craw, what's cooking, babe?
What is up?
What is up?
All right, Boomer. I have a little problem with you being hypocritical about the Yankees, you know, calling them a minor league team.
Yes,
I
agree.
I said they're a minor league. I just said, well, you know, I can't believe that. Yeah, but I can't believe that they're doing this. I mean, who are you guys? Are you guys now all of a sudden, you know, individuals, or are you about the crest on the front of the jersey or the name in the stands in the judges' chambers? What's this all about? It's so anti-Yankee.
They're having a little fun with it. They're rolling with it. They've done it before. They did it with Giambi, you know, with the mustaches, you know.
Right.
It's hypocritical. You know, you're a Mets fan.
We do all the cheesy stuff. I know we do. I mean, and we don't have the 35,000 fans like you guys had last night. You know, in a lot of ways, Crawford, what I am doing is actually, you know, giving you a compliment. And giving your team a compliment.
That they're able to have a little fun, loosen up a little bit.
Let's go to Joe in Holtzville. Joe, what's happening?
Here we go.
Hey, Boomer, I'm a longtime Yankee fan. I agree with you. Touching the money, I don't like it one
How
thing.
Is it thank touching the money?
I got to get to work, guys. I'll see you later.
Okay, right, thank you,
don't
Joe.
Let us stop you.
That. Yeah.
Hold on a sec.
I like it.
Here's what, listen.
I
they're
like
having
it,
so a little fun. There's 20 seats that you can't buy. That they kind of reward people with for being in the building.
Can I explain something to you?
I
tried to explain this to you the other day. And I know this because this is, you know, my dad was a Giant fan.
Right.
And even in the worst times.
Baseball or football?
Football.
Okay.
And even and baseball because he liked the National League and everything.
Right.
But even in the worst times of the Giants, he would watch every Sunday, and it was Wellington Mara's team.
Right.
And, you know, and I told you the respect that, you know, everybody in the NFL should have for Wellington Mara and what he did to the league and all that other stuff. So even when they were bad, he always felt like they were above everybody else.
Right.
Because they were blue. They were the, you know.
Elitist a little bit.
It's kind of like the Rangers, you know, the blue shirts,
well, like
original six.
I get where you're going.
And it's also the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, all these teams have been around here. They have longstanding fan bases and generations of fan bases. You know, people
pass
down jerseys.
If the Giants announced tomorrow that they were going to do a search for a cheerleading crew.
It's not working.
You would say that's so un-Giant-like.
Yes.
Right. Here's the difference. The Yankees are merely having a little fun, something their fans are embracing. Here's an entertaining guy that has captured New York.
Not all fans are embracing.
Who's playing his ass off. Why? And everyone in there's got a robe on, and they're holding up signs, and they got fake gavels, and it's like a party. It's almost like the Seven Line.
You know why? It's awesome.
And it's awesome.
But it's un-Yankee-like.
Maybe it's the new Yankees.
They're right.
Having a little fun. Why can't the Yankees have a little fun?
I'm not saying they can't.
The Yankees
don't
have to be thought of as a stuck-up snobby.
I just think that they're touching the money. Yeah, they only have $3,500 seats behind home plate. They're not stuck-up snobby.
Yeah, because the Mets tickets behind home plate are cheap.
They're only $1,200.
I mean, can you imagine?
Look, I'm sitting here. I'm giving your team a compliment.
Could you imagine?
How do you not hear this as a compliment?
It's not a compliment. It's a backhanded compliment.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It's like it's not even a veiled shot.
You
know, it's a shot. It's a shot.
Could you imagine if they did that for Derek Jeter? What would he do? What would Jeter do?
That's exactly right.
What would Jeter do?
He would have had to have gone along with it.
No, he would have said, take that down.
Come on, he would not have said, Mr. Steinbrenner, take that down?
Take that down.
Mr. Corbin, Jeff. But here's the deal.
Tear down this wall. No, but I'm
Jeter's
just
name didn't rhyme with anything, you know?
Right.
Because you couldn't have, like, you know, Jeter, what do you have? Jeter's what?
Is it one of the reasons why Derek Jeter is so beloved by Yankee fans is because, number one, the performance
period,
and longevity.
Stop.
And longevity. Performance and longevity. But.
Yeah.
There was a very captain-like, humble nature about him and the way he carried himself both on the field and off the field. And it's kind of an under the radar, opposite A-Rod.
For sure.
Opposite all these other people.
You know, because there's something in sports, it's actually in life, where if you know you can count on that and the consistency of no matter what else is going on, that's the guy you can count on, right?
Right.
Clutch hit.
Yeah.
He'll be a great representative of the team.
Right.
He was the constant. You know, that doesn't exist that much in life, let alone in sports. Like if I said to you just real quick, non-hockey, please, on the New York Jets, who's the constant? Who's the guy that doesn't exist currently? On the New York Giants.
I would say David Harris.
Yeah, but it really doesn't
exist.
They're
not winning, so you don't see it. You don't feel it.
Now, Eli Manning, in theory, should be that guy for the Giants.
He is. He's won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, and they beat the Patriots.
Constant. The personality never changes.
They would have
Melba Toast.
Right. New England would have seven Super Bowl victories instead of five if it weren't for Eli Manning and the Giants.
Well.
Well, the Giants. It's just that Eli is the face of the Giants. Well, it might have been Michael Strahan when he was here, but...
Right, but he's flat, right? He's like, the emotions rarely change.
Right.
Much like Derek Jeter.
It's called consistency. Now, I think that McAdoo and the guys over there want to see a little bit more emotion.
Flat like that. Okay. Actually, this is a very interesting year for Eli Manning.
Yes.
In that, you know, he's obviously towards the end of his career, and, you know, they drafted the kid from Cal, right? Webb. And for the first time ever, I think people are now going to be willing to say, hey.
Well, they also have Geno Smith.
Which he ain't worried about. We got a really good team. It's on you now. Every week. Beat Tom Brady. Every week.
Let me ask you a question. Why is he at the end of his career, but Tom Brady can play until he's 45?
Well, how old is Eli Manning? 39? 38?
No, he's 35. I think he's younger than.
I mean, he's towards the back end.
Does he get hurt? No.
He's on the
Does
back he miss nine.
Games? No.
He doesn't have another 20 years to go.
No, he could have another 5 years to go, and by that time, Davis Webb could be working at
McDonald's or something,
or whatever.
Or maybe we can get him a job at Jersey Mike's.
Or maybe he's working for Geico or somebody.
He'll be working. I know that. Here is Jimmy in Middletown on the fan. Jimmy, good morning. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Hey, you guys have been together now 10 years now, right?
That's right.
Shocking.
Now, Craig, do you get more mad, disappointed when Boomer talks hockey?
Okay.
Or when Boomer answers the phones? Now, I've been listening to you guys forever.
Yeah.
And I can tell your tone goes... And he just had me four. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it pisses me off. The fat hands on the screen in which he wants to all of a sudden go out of character, go out of his lane and initiate a phone call or even worse, hang up on a great caller, pisses me off more than the hockey talk. The hockey talk, I know it's sometimes of year, is unavoidable, so we allow him that. But now, when he touches the screen,
we allow him that.
It changes the whole dynamic of the show.
No, it doesn't.
It does to me,
I
hate it.
You know, so what?
So to the point where his screen was off about 10, 20 minutes ago, and I was so happy that he was off. He, of course, goes to Al during a commercial break. Al, my screen's not working. I need to plug back in. And I'm like, leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone.
But now you know how we feel about when your stupid voice box thing is plugged in. We hate that.
Great entertainment. I could just tell. Craig doesn't have to say anything. You could just hear it over the radio.
It bothers me.
Well, thanks,
ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
The top three things that bother Boomer and Carton about each other.
That right there bothers the crap out of me. Because once you get locked into that, and all of a sudden your ADD goes away, and you just lock yourself into something. Like you were locking yourself in last week to finding the old tapes?
Boomer.
There we go. There we go.
Tell us why you ordered the code red. Boomer, we've been watching you. No.
Let's go to Peter in Vegas.
I got
Peter, you're on with
do.
Boomer and Carton. What's happening?
See?
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to comment on that coward for the Jets, that scrub. I don't even know what his name is.
Sheldon.
What a coward, right?
Yeah, Shelly Richardson's who you're talking about.
Yeah, I never heard of the guy. You know, I'm not a Brandon Marshall fan. I'm an Eagles fan.
Sure.
Yep. Smack about him when he's gone.
I agree with you.
For the media to egg him on, put the ball on the tube. What is that?
Well, listen, it's not the media's fault. I thought the media embarrassed themselves by, laughing overboard at Richardson, who he buried all year last year. But I agree. Sheldon Richardson, and I know
well,
for a fact.
You know, Peter, the thing about it is, if you were here last year and you lived through what went on in the Jet locker room on the sideline, halftime of the Kansas City game, halftime of the New England game last year, Brandon taking himself out of that game in which he impassionedly tried to get the guys to try to win and support Bryce Petty. I mean, all that crap. I mean, and when you lose, the locker room stuff starts to boil over, especially when you have powerful personalities.
Now,
that's all.
I know for a fact they got into it together a number of times, but you're taking the shot the way he took it now just means he's still a little sensitive about what Brandon said about him. And Brandon responding the way he responded yesterday means he don't give a damn. And that's it.
You know what?
It's done. Squashed.
It's good for us.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
But I agree. Sheldon Richardson, get over yourself. Show up on time. How about that?
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Jerry Rego's here. little lazy this morning with the shaving, I can see, but okay, why not?
Yeah, brought to you by AmTrust Title, led by industry veteran Steve Napolitano. AmTrust Title, you're on solid ground. We'll start with the basketball because the Cavaliers up 3-1.
LeBron up near the timeline, works on Smart, has to his left, deals the love right corner, catch and shoot three. Hey! Knocks it down, and he got knocked down by the on-charging Horford. Nothing called. The Cavs have taken a 101-92 lead.
John Michael on Cavs radio. Yeah, Kevin Love, 17 points, 17 rebounds. The story, Kyrie Irving, though, with the 42, and Cleveland wins 112-99. Game wasn't as easy as I think a lot of people thought, or maybe even that final score might indicate, as they had to come back from a first-half deficit and LeBron James playing in foul trouble. Here was Irving. What's it like to be in a zone like he was? He had 21 points in that third quarter, which was really amazing.
You almost hit the, I think you guys heard it, almost like a runner's high.
I don't know what that means, but I imagine that must mean a lot of adrenaline.
You've heard of a runner's high?
No, I haven't.
But I've heard of it. And everything. They go out and they run every morning. Like, ask Mark Chernoff, the tiny tot of the
Cowboys. He complains about it.
Right. He runs every morning. He has a runner's high.
He doesn't get the high part. He just runs, but he's miserable about it.
I am the tiny tot of the kilowatt.
My man.
And he does run every single day. Keeps him young.
Weird.
Why? I think it's great.
There's something OCD about it that's strange. Take a break.
He's addicted to running. Why is that not great?
Why would I run to work every day?
You should run to work every day.
And then I'd be sweaty.
Oh, you'd be thin, actually.
Maybe I could bathe in the toilet like Evan, you know.
Evan did something very clever the other day.
Wait, he brought soap?
No. He drove his car up to the northern tip of Manhattan from where he lives because there's ample parking all over the place, and then biked from there here.
They're right down the West Side Highway.
Right. See, on a beautiful morning.
So bright about that.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
Because you get in, you don't have to pay for parking. You got a spot for your car. You still get your exercise in. You ride your bike down. You take your what you call the bird bath. Get on your bike, back to your car, you're home.
So where does he put it? Where does he put his bike when he gets here?
I guess on the back of the truck or car or whatever he's got.
What, sure. Is he one of those like, when he gets here, bikes?
The guys let him put it in the freight part of the building. Okay.
Every day he rides his bike, and he likes to sit real low when he's talking on the mic. You can see him playing Twitter baseball. Yeah. You can catch him half naked just chilling in the bathroom stall.
The bird bath.
At Evan's bird bath, Evan's getting clean at the bird bath. Boomer's gonna puke at the bird bath,
That's what I'm
talking
about.
Is that a new one, or have we heard
that one? It's a brand new one.
That's tremendous.
First time that's ever been played. What else you got in sports, Jerry?
Rectum.
You put that in the bathroom handle together, and you got a puke fest.
Pretty much. Now, before the game last night between the Cavaliers and Celtics, you had, or maybe it was after, I don't know when it was, Shaq and Barkley were on TNT.
Yeah.
And they were essentially attacking one another in terms of the importance of the game for both teams.
You don't want to mess around, Chuck. You have no idea what we're talking about.
It's a real must-win for Boston.
Because you've only been to the finals once.
I was riding on Dwayne Wade's and Kobe's coattails.
Doesn't matter, Chuck. I got the same thing you got, and I passed you up 10 years
ago. Just letting you know. If I'd been riding on Kobe's coattails,
anyway,
Dwayne Wade's,
anyway,
and Alonzo Mourning, too. I forgot about
him. Must win for those guys. Everybody
and
knows you're a bum.
Rick Fox.
People question why you're in the Hall of Fame anyway. Bum.
So that's how it started. Now, they're kind of laughing through it.
Right.
I think it sounds worse than it looked. And then here was how Ernie Johnson gets involved.
Why did that get so personal? We're talking about game five.
Because Chuck always interrupt me. Don't interrupt me, Chuck. I'm going to punch you right in your face. I'm telling you.
Okay. We're going to be moving some furniture.
Okay.
I'm going to throw one of these chicken wings at your fat ass.
Okay.
And then they kind of wrapped up, and I guess they went to break. So
all people make fun of someone's weight.
That's more intense than the games are.
Yeah, that's why they're entertaining.
I think they got a little too personal there.
Yes.
I
riding on the coattails of Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant.
That's kind of rough, yes. And then the baseball, you had the Mets yesterday. They got out to a really fast start when they played the Padres.
Conforto drives one. Deep right field. Back goes Renfro onto the warning track. Back at the bullpen. Fence. It's out of here. Michael Conforto, a leadoff home run.
That is Gary Cohen on SNY, and that just started the parade of 11 batters that would come to the plate in the first inning. The Mets would put up 7 runs. They would coast to a 9-3 win.
They needed a win like that, too. You know, one of those easy wins.
When they weren't sweating it out in the eighth inning.
5 games under 500. You know, there's not a lot that's been easy for them this year.
That is true. Lucas Duda with 3-for-4, the 2-run double in the first, and a RBI single in the 7th. Conforto actually finished with 2 home runs and 3 hits on the day. He's been great. Jay Bruce was 1-for-3, also left with stiffness in his back.
Oh, boy. Here
does expect to play today, though. Now, Jose Reyes expected to play, and he came right back, like they said. So you do have that. Matt Harvey, just 5 innings, a lot of pitches, 2 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks. He does get the win, though. Robert Gzelman and Jared Kosart will go today.
I mean, how does that not like a double-digit run game tonight, you know? Even though San Diego sucks.
You would think.
Like, the Mets should be all over Kosart. And you got to figure if San Diego's ever going to score 5 or 6 runs, it's going to be against Gzelman, right?
You would think, yes.
That's how I would view it. It's going to be like a softball game. They're not winning tonight 2-1 is my point.
I was going to say, watch, it'll be a 3-1 game or something
no
like
shot.
That.
That's no shot.
No chance.
I don't even know
what's the over-under on runs, would you say?
I would take a guess.
But if you were setting the line, what would you set the over-under on runs?
Well, I would set it, I'm sure, higher than what it really is. It's very rare for a baseball over-under to be double digits. So I would tell you that it's probably 9.5. I would set it for 11.
11. By the way, you mocked me with Ryan Schimpf. He homered last night.
Ryan Schimpf. I never even heard of Ryan Schimpf. How did I mock you for it?
Yesterday. He's, that's a real guy. Yeah. He's an outfielder for the Padres.
I'm just saying, you bring up these names of guys no one's ever heard of, and I'm now the bad guy.
I just said he homered last night.
I don't know. I don't remember mocking you.
Well, you kind of did.
Well,
anyway.
The over-under is... Was it not in the paper? It's not in the paper, sorry.
When you bet baseball,
you're the one that bets baseball. I never bet baseball.
Not you.
I bet baseball once in my entire life.
Is it, a run and a half?
Yes. It's always, the run line's always -1.5. Always.
Always. You're never 2.5. It's never a half a run.
Al, did you hear what I just said or no?
I heard you loud and clear. I don't know what Jerry needed.
Did I stutter when I said it?
Did Jerry needed clarification?
So it couldn't be 3.5?
What did I say, Al?
Like, what if the Padres are playing the almighty Yankees right now?
Yeah.
That's got to be the Yankees -3.5, right?
Al, what did I say moments ago?
You said it's the same every time.
Right, but let's say it was the Yankees and the Padres.
Okay.
The Yankees are 12 game, whatever they are, 11 games over 500. The Padres are, let's say it's the Phillies.
Right.
Phillies are 4-19 in the
Phillies
last 23 games.
Stink.
Phillies, Yankees at Yankee Stadium.
Come
Yankees
on.
-2.5, 3.5 runs.
Al, what did I say again? Was that?
It's the same, Jerry. Doesn't matter.
You mean
what
for
the
like every game? It's the same.
Al, what did I say again about that?
He said it's the same for every team, Jerry. It's all
right, so
Major League Baseball.
It's a run and a half for every game.
Always in every single game.
Everyone
1.5 runs.
Same.
Now you can take the underdog plus
and then
1.5.
But to get more than 1.5.
Okay. Al, what did I say? The run line is.
It's the same for every game.
Boomer, what's the run line in baseball?
I have no idea.
That hardly seems fair.
You guys are boring the hell out of me. You're arguing over stupid stuff.
It's not an argument.
I'm not arguing.
He asked the question.
I'm a serious question. Like, if Dallas Keuchel is pitching,
right,
and the Astros are running away with the American League West, and they're playing the Padres, is that a run and a half?
Run and a half.
For every game?
Every single game.
Hardly makes sense.
Every game.
Well, there's obviously history and,
now,
and an algorithm on their side.
There are different, you may have to risk more to win. There's still a favorite and an underdog.
So the money's different.
But the risk is different, but the line never changes. It's always 1.5. So, for example, the Mets tonight might be -140 on the money line, on the run line.
Right.
But it's always, Boomer, how much?
What do you mean?
I mean, you guys.
1.5.
Thank you.
Yes, I know. I know what you're talking about, but I'm just, the point being is that somehow, some way, they're going to even it out.
1.5.
Either by the amount of money you have to bet in order to win a certain amount of money.
Boomer gets it.
Yes.
Boomer's knee deep in it.
Yeah, I'm knee deep in it, all right. I'm bored by it.
No. That's so disrespectful to Jerry's update. He works all hour to prepare an update for us, and you just dismiss it.
No,
like
I'm
it doesn't
not dismissing
matter.
His update. I like his updates. I'd rather hear more updates.
Go right ahead, Jerry.
Pitch is hit high in the air, deep down the right field line. Fair, it's trouble, and it is a fair ball home run. Another home run for the Royals. They've had 4 in 2 innings.
Yeah, John Sterling.
Wow.
They went from 2-0 down to a 6-2 win last night.
What happens if the Royals hit it into the judges' chambers? What do we do with
We throw the ball back.
Is that what happens? Okay.
Right? Don't we throw the ball back?
Yeah.
I want to hear more of the update, so I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Jorge Bonifacio, the go-ahead two-run homer in the seventh off of Adam Warren. Whit Merrifield off of Jonathan Holder and Moustakas there off of Chasen Shreve.
Moustakas.
Yeah, I believe a free agent, too, after the year.
Yeah, I ordered Moustakas for lunch yesterday.
Man, what has happened to the Royals since they won the World Series?
They've lost people, and they have no pitching, essentially. Here's Joe Girardi. He took Montgomery out. Why? After he went, you know, he pitched really well, and that one inning gave up the home run. He says, listen, the results are what they are.
We made the move. It didn't work, but I don't second-guess myself.
And he was at 98 pitches when he took him out. Makes sense. Girardi was asked about the offense and took a reporter to school.
Oh, Duffy's had two really good starts against you. Sale and Keuchel are two of the best lefties in the game, have had really good numbers against you. What is it about lefties, do you think, with this team?
Well, we've hit lefties if you check the numbers.
Yeah, we have. So this, we'll
the guy's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. My bad.
So you're saying you're really good against lefties? I didn't realize that. Let's move on to something else. Meredith Maganagovich, can you ask him how it feels to lose?
No. Jason Hamill, Luis Severino tonight will have it on the Fan. And just quickly, ball on the tee gate is over. We have figured out.
You put the ball on the tee, Sheldon. Okay,
so we know who that is. Is it our main man, Brian Costello?
It is.
I told you it was Costello.
You're right. Someone sent me the video of a different angle. And that is Brian Costello to Sheldon
Richardson.
He's
the new Jet reporter for the Fan since Lopresti just quit on us. And and that's his C. Now, what's going to happen when Sheldon Richardson has a bad game, misses a practice? I expect him to say the same thing. Shelly, you're putting the ball up on the tee for us, Shelly.
You put the ball on the tee, Sheldon.
But at least he's engaged. He's asking questions.
You know, there's a Fan reporter getting involved.
Tell Costello I want to talk to him this morning. All right?
He should be up, too.
Of course he's up. He's our Jet reporter. He's probably doing Jet stuff right now.
You going to put it on the tee for him?
I'm going to put it on a tee for him.
You put the ball on the tee, Sheldon.
Y'all so thirsty.
That's it. Y'all is Sheldon's thirsty.
Yes. And just lastly, the Patriots restructured Rob Gronkowski's deal. It's based on playing time. If he plays 90%, 80 catches, 1,200 receiving yards, or named an All-Pro, he'll make almost $11 million this season.
Yeah, but his career is a bit of a crossroads.
Well, the numbers come down at 80%, at 70%, and so on. I guess his base salary is about five and a half.
I think Craigie's right. His career is at a crossroads because of the amount of injuries.
Yeah, and then CBS announced yesterday that Tony Romo will be participating in the golf broadcast, despite Mike Francesa saying he never would because they no longer do that anymore, and that'll never, ever, 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 okay, happen. Guess what? Of course it's happening.
Yeah, but, I mean, is he going to be announcing – as a golf announcer on the broadcast, or is he going on as a guest?
To kind of introduce him?
Kind of introduce him as the new analyst for CBS.
Oh, come on, Romo, you suck!
Well, he expressed an interest in covering the sport. He'll be featured briefly on CBS's coverage of the Dean and DeLuca Invitational from Fort Worth's Colonial Country Club this weekend.
All right,
that was leaked out by CBS producer Lance Barrow at an event. And Tony Romo, I guess, will be in the 18th tower with, hello, friends, Jim Nance, briefly, but he will be a part of the broadcast. I wonder if we'll ever get him on the show to promote the broadcast.
He's not going to be on there. He may discuss his own golf game, but he's not going to be breaking down golf swings. So they have Nick Faldo there. He's just coming on as a guest. I believe that's the reason why he's on.
So it's not going to be to 14 at Tony Romo.
I would say this. If I'm Nick Faldo, I'm a little concerned.
Make sure I send a nice basket to Nance's house.
Probably already did that. You know,
like hopefully it's enough.
Took Phil Simms' gig. Maybe he's going after Fowler's now.
Poor Phil Simms.
You know, I'm just saying it could happen. You never know. I'd be. Maybe I don't want to have him on the show now. Maybe he's after one of our jobs too. He could be like the new all around multimedia face of CBS.
Yeah, like if he has good chemistry with Boomer when he comes in.
Right. I mean,
you're gone.
See you later, Craig.
Yeah.
Just get rid of Craig real quick.
Next thing you know, poor Faldo's going to sell his $8.2 million house.
That's it.
I'll Mike Greenberg you.
That's it. And then Lance Bauer said he thinks that Tony Romo is the next John Madden. Now, he thinks that highly of as a broadcaster. You know. How about that?
Okay.
Boy, that's a nice comment from one of the longtime sports producers in this country. from the. He, how about that?
That's a shot.
That is.
That's what that is.
Oh, you think it's like a tongue in cheek, like, yeah, he's the next Madden?
No, it's not a shot at Tony. I think it's a shot at somebody else. That's all.
Is that right? I like that. Infighting. Al, what's the latest on booking Tony Romo?
Haven't heard anything back yet.
Did you call Sabs up for us or no?
I've not. Jay Sabs, you said?
Yeah, did you email him?
Yeah.
You didn't even email him when I asked you to.
Well, I've emailed so many times now.
And no, then what? Did she get back to you?
Every week you should send her a reminder email.
She gets back to me when she needs something, so I just figured, you know, she'd get back to you when you need something.
Right, but he's not even asking Boomer.
Well, because at some point Boomer took over, and they were going to work through Boomer when he was coming into town.
Now, listen, nobody's working through me. I'm not working. You know, I do my job. I show up. I do my job. Oh, I can't do somebody else's job.
I'll send Jay Sabs a note myself, since you're busy producing your own podcast these days and have time to do the few things I ask. I don't ask for much.
He's lazy.
All I asked was, can you send Jay Sabs a note saying, when is Tony Romo coming on the show? Right?
I would imagine correct. Somewhere towards the end of August.
August.
No, it's got to be before August.
Well, don't you think that would be a good get right before the football season starts?
No, because at that point, he probably would have gone on 50 TV shows and radio shows and done a national tour and a thing and this and that.
But he hasn't yet.
Right, but by August, we'll have done a preseason game. He'll be out there. They have this thing in TV called Upfronts, where the broadcasters all meet, you know, the advertising community.
I think that's already
And then
been
you do
done.
A million you know, interviews.
I think that's already been done.
Plus, he goes on that Ben and Skin show in Dallas or something.
No good. No.
Ben and Skin.
At that point, I say no.
Now, we're turning him down.
We say no to you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send Jay Sabs a note right now. Hey there. Have you been? That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be all nice.
Hope all is well.
Hope you're having a great, great, great year. Just out of curiosity, WTF.
CC Boomer on that.
Yeah, and I go, Boomer and I were talking about it this morning.
If you're going to CC me, do a BCC me, okay?
No, you're in. I'm
not
fact,
a CC, just a BCC.
Biatch slapped.
In. You are now part of the email chain. Oh, Boomer and I were chatting.
Great.
To do it like that. Jerry, anything else, or are you good?
No, we're good.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Now, Boomer and I have an announcement to make.
We do?
Yes, we do.
When?
Because it's now 100% official. Official. It's in. Had a meeting about it yesterday. All the pieces are in place, and it's locked in. As you know, this is the 10th anniversary of the Boomer and Carton radio program here on WFAN. September 4th is the actual day of our anniversary, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So the station came to us a few months ago, and they said, we want to have a celebration. Great, let's celebrate. What do you guys have in mind? We don't know. All right? What can you guys do?
Yeah, people don't realize just how accurate that is. That is an accurate statement about the lack of support from management towards this program.
Well, we've figured it out, though. Al's in on it. Eddie's in on it. Bobby. Jerry.
In other words, we have to throw our own party.
Well, and Danny C., who took care of business over the last couple weeks
That's
and getting
what
it done.
I'm talking about.
On August 18th, it is locked in official. We will have the Boomer and Carton 10th anniversary party at Borgata at their amazing nightclub called Premiere. It is a red carpet, VIP, top-notch, super-duper party of the year down the shore at Borgata. It's a Friday night. I would tell you to go get your rooms now. Make sure you can get a ticket to the event. Obviously, you can walk in as well. The club fits about 1,200 people. I'm DJing most of the night. And it's game on.
Since he's going to be living a dream DJing because he's always wanted to do this, what are we doing?
You guys are going to be dancing and hanging out with the DJ.
We're going to stand there with our drinks like this.
The DJ area has...
Yeah, baby!
You guys will be hanging with me in the booth.
Special happy hour.
Yeah!
5 to 7, right?
There'll be a special happy hour, unofficial.
Nice. Good.
The doors of the club are going to open up at 10 o'clock at night. There's going to be celebrities galore there.
Celebrities.
Friends of the show.
Friends.
Some also some surprise guests to join me in the DJ booth. Some live musical performances.
Topless mermaid.
And a celebration of Boomer and Carton, the Boomer and Carton way. Party. Borgata.
Grip and tug.
So August 18th, it's now official.
Y'all so say? Thirsty.
Yeah.
We're thirsty. Stay woke. It's a stay woke party.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's it. It's a done deal. All right? I would call Borgata now and reserve a room for August 18th. And you probably need it for the 19th also, because the party's going to go to 4 o'clock in the morning. And Boomer's in
meet
for
the
whole
can.
Night. So get your rest, get your nap, and let's get going.
Meet in the can. Meat in the can, eat clams. Meat in the can, eat clams. Meat in the can, eat clams. Meat in the can, eat clams.
Well, Dukes.
Doing what?
I don't know yet, but he's going to do a live performance at some point. Tuvok is in.
He's going to sing Beat Tom Brady.
He'll do whatever he wants to do, but
all the hits, all
we
the
have
time.
60 Al seconds Dukes. Set aside for an Al Dukes live performance at Premier Nightclub.
It's a very manly thing that men do.
That's right. There'll be tons of people there.
Oh.
It's going to be great. Boomer's loving it. He's locked in. Boomer's going to lead us in a line dance.
Bring the cheese whiz, Al.
Eddie's going to have the car bombs lined up. Jerry's going to have his Melba Toast white man dance cooking. Bobby's going to be vaporizing in the corner somewhere outside the building, then come in happy, ready to go.
Their nipples are
exposed.
It's going
to be a party, man. It's going to be all good then.
Who's bringing the Molly?
So that's it. I want to announce that officially. All right, Boom?
All right.
And we'll have some advertising partners, a part of it as well, which we'll announce throughout the next month or two. But it's our party. Hopefully you'll come to it and be ready for a great club night. Got it?
Got it.
And there'll be more details on our website. There'll be details on the Borgata website. There'll be lots of details coming. But reserve the date now, August 18th, Boomer and Carton 10th year anniversary.
Going to be awesome.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.